hello. I'm a liberal snowflake, and I just floated in on a frosty breeze to share with you a delightful holiday tale. What's that? You love holiday tales? Well, you're in luck, because this tale has a very well-known holiday in it. Christmas! And it also features two obese men in their mid-30s named Cliff and Kendall. What's that? You're an awfully big fan of theirs. Oh, no, you said you never heard of them. Well, neither have most people. They are and are the hosts of an internet talk show / radio filler program for a teeny tiny weeny woony station in Busheltown known as KBSH, or more popularly, Rye 99. This Christmas, Cliff and Kendall were on a world tour. No, it wasn't a world tour in support of their unpopular show. They were actually just along for the ride, as their friend Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn educated the citizens of Earth on the benefits of growing and consuming rye on behalf of the Busheltown City Council. And so it happened that the Cliff and Kendall gang was scheduled to spend this Christmas in Bangkok at the home of Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn's dear friend, Letitia Washington. In fact, that's where our story begins.
Ow! What happened?
I just stabbed myself again with this threading needle.
Do you think the pioneers, or whoever the hell used to string popcorn for their Christmas trees, stabbed themselves as often as we have?
Probably. You know, the pioneers were pretty much morons.
Oh, boys, those strands of popcorn will look beautiful on our Christmas tree. Oh, and whatever you've done to make them speckled with red, keep doing it. I've never seen such a festive garland.
Okay, but we may need a transfusion. It's our blood. These popcorn strings are soaked in our blood, sweat, and tears.
Oh, my.
Blood from all the needle stabbings.
Sweat, because it's 90 degrees out here in sunny Bangkok. If it was only a little more humid, it'd feel like Christmas in Busheltown.
And the aforementioned tears that have soaked into the popcorn garlands, they came from when I heard the saddest Christmas song on the radio. Have you ever heard it? It's about this little kid who's buying a gift for his mom on Christmas Eve, but he doesn't have enough cash when the sales associate rings up his purchase. So he turns to the customer behind him in line and he pleads in song, "Would you buy these panties for my mama, please? It's Christmas Eve and all her panties are soiled. You see, she's been too sick to work for quite a while, and this leopard print is just her style, and I want her to look sexy in case mama's John is Jesus tonight." The mom is the dying hooker. Hey, maybe we could add that song to the big holiday show you're directing.
Oh, no, that wouldn't do at all. The show is locked and there's no changing it this close to the performance. What? The show's tomorrow night!
Well, that's okay. I doubt I could sing the whole thing without weeping anyway. On another note, I can't believe we get to stay in this huge, beautiful house for Christmas. I was sure we'd be in another motel drinking nog from those little cups that they give you that are all wrapped up by the sink.
Yes, it was such a blessing when my dear friend Letitia Washington called up to offer us the use of her Bangkok estate for Christmas. As you know, she's a high-powered lawyer that represents women who've been sexually harassed in the workplace, and she's far too busy to come to Bangkok for Christmas. And speaking of the anniversary of the Savior's birth, put down those bloody needles. We've got to rehearse for the big Christmas show.
Half an hour later, the Cliff and Kendall gang was on stage at the Bangkok Community Center, perfecting their upcoming performance.
And this is where Fonky will come in, dressed as a little drummer person.
Where are Fonky and Opie today? I mean, Crockpot's doing a great job as Mary.
Thanks, Cliff.
But don't you think she should practice with Opie playing his part as the Christ child? Also, I keep laughing at that big box of bowel stiffener she's using as a substitute.
Oh, that's silly.
My thoughts exactly, Crockpot. We can't wait for the children to return from their costume fittings to rehearse. Now, Crockpot, cradle that box of bowel stiffener near your motherly bosom.
Alrighty.
What's that smell? Did the animal handler deliver the live camels?
Oh, no. Ugh. Oh, sorry, that's me. I'm trying out this new organic jock itch powder. Label says to leave it on for 48 hours, so I ain't showered this week, just to be extra safe.
Oh, God, I hope the real Joseph didn't smell like that.
Kendall, you know, everybody in Jesus' day stank to high heaven. It's probably a relief when you got up close to one of those nasty-smelling camels. Why do you think the wise men gave him frankincense and myrrh? That's the biblical equivalent of Febreze and a Glade plug-in.
Oh, okay, wise men, it's time for your entrance!
Oh, I'm ready, dear. As head wise man, I'll be in the lead. Just follow me, boys, to the nativity we go.
Yes, go around that palm tree and up toward the little stranger in the manger.
Hey, Mrs. Potter, better turn. I do have one suggestion. What if instead of me handing them the myrrh, I pull it out from behind of baby Jesus' ear? Or I could saw somebody in half. I mean, not Jesus, but maybe like Charles the Contractor?
Oh, yeah, man, that sounds pretty cool. This Christmas play's gonna be bitchin'.
Well, I appreciate the theatricality of your ideas. This is already the greatest story ever told, and it hardly needs improving. Also, I want this tale of angelic visits and immaculate conceptions to be realistic. Except, of course, for the shepherds that'll have to be made from cardboard. And action!
Where is the child that has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage.
Is that he there nestled in thine motherly embrace, swaddled in meager cloth?
Oh, yes.
O Mary, mother of the newborn king, allow us to bestow unto you a gift from each of our native easterly lands.
From my treasure chest I give unto you...
Wait, Kendall. Mrs. Potter Butterbutterturn, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I have... a question, not a suggestion. And I think it goes along with your realistic vision.
What is it, dear?
Shouldn't I give my gift first, since I'm the most famous wise man?
You're not the most famous wise man. Mr. Snodbottom is. He's the leader.
Good point, boy.
But I'm the only one who did anything after being in the Christmas story. Did you ever hear of Melchior or Balthazar again? No, but I'm Caspar. I was famous for this, and became super famous after I died. I was such a nice spirit, they called me Casper, the friendly ghost.
That's not the same thing.
Prove it, bitch.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, please don't use such language around the box of bowel stiffener that represents our Lord.
Cut!
Later that evening, back at Letitia Washington's luxurious mansion...
Kendall, I'm lost again. I can't find the room I put my garbage bags full of dirty underwear in.
Didn't you put them in the one with the Gucci wallpaper?
I didn't notice the wallpaper. I just remember over the fireplace there was a big painting of this buff stud with an arrow in his arm.
Oh, yes, the buff stud. I mean, the dying Saint Sebastian is all the way down the hall to the left of the third floor.
Thanks. Oh, and hey, I was thinking about the cardboard shepherds in the play. Would you want real people if we could find some on short notice?
My angels from the realms of glory, yes! But when I booked the temporary nanny to help with the children while we're all so busy with the play, the agency said they were all out of shepherds.
Well, last night, while Kendall was wrapping Susan's Christmas present...
I wasn't wrapping her Christmas present. I was writing her a Christmas rap.
You're writing her a rap song for Christmas? Guess what you're getting for Valentine's Day? Divorce!
Nah, she'll love it.
Anyway, Crockpot came with me to this go-go bar, especially for fat gays. It's dudes in Speedos dancing on your table, but there's also a soft-serve ice cream machine and, oh my god, toppings as far as the eye can see. So, okay, we were there and Crockpot started making out with this drunk bisexual, and I got talking to this guy who'd been eyeing me all night. Turns out he was the janitor and he'd been looking at this big mold spot behind me on the wall, but that's not really relevant. So, okay, he points over to this table full of guys in the corner and he says for a small fee, they'll do almost anything, which immediately made me think, hey, shepherds for the Christmas play.
That sounds like a wonderful solution.
Really?
Yes, and we need to make sure they're available for the show. Cliff, can you go back to that restaurant tonight and secure as many as you can?
Sure. I was just thinking I could go for a wiener bouncing around my face. And a hot fudge sundae.
Ooh, they do have sundaes to go. Bring me back one.
Okay. First, they fill a turkey baster with the hot fudge and they squeeze it up a dancer's butthole.
Make mine a room temperature caramel sundae.
You're not gonna like how they get the caramel on there any better.
And so it was that Cliff went back to the nightclub and Kendall went back to his room to relax.
Finally, a little peace and quiet.
Before we begin... Since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas.
Come in.
Pardon me, Bauer. I know you need your beauty rest, but I was wondering if you could help me. I've got a gift for Fonky from her adoring mother and I. It's a Barbie playset. It's a graduate school, especially for dolls earning their PhD.
You want me to wrap it? Okay. Bring me some tape and three of those gender-neutral gingerbread people Mrs. Potter-Butter-Butter-Churn baked this afternoon.
Oh, no. I don't want you to wrap it. I know Fonky will want to play with it immediately. All of her Barbie dolls are quite thirsty for knowledge, you know. So I need you to assemble it, then top it off with a bow, somewhere around the dean's office.
Okay. Just bring me the cookies and a screwdriver.
Never, boy. I'll not be the one that upends your sobriety.
I meant the tool kind of screwdriver.
I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Come in.
Oh, hey, I hope I ain't catching you choking the chicken.
No, I'm trying to watch Christmas Vacation. I've only watched it 4 times this year, and it's almost Christmas.
Oh, well, I was wondering if you could help me out with something.
What?
See, I got Mrs. Butter 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 Churn an Xmas present, and it's a picture of her favorite place we've been to so far on this ride tour, that Eiffel Tower thing in Paris.
That's actually kind of nice. For Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn, I'll help you. What do you need me to do? Frame it?
Oh, man, that'd be so bitchin', dude. If you could frame it. Hey, do that, will you? Right after you put the picture together.
Put the picture together?
Yeah, man, it's on the puzzle. See, the gift shop was asking way too much for them posters, but over in the corner, they had this pile of these puzzles for 75% off. Now, it's only 3,000 pieces, so it won't take you long, man. Thanks, dude.
But, Charles!
Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
Come in!
Kendall.
Okay, Crockpot, let me guess. You need me to put together whatever's in that bag you're carrying, which is someone's Christmas present currently in a million little pieces?
Yes.
Alright, just give it to me.
Thanks, Kendall.
Yeah.
And so, Kendall settled in for a long winter's night of putting together other people's Christmas presents. The next morning...
I'd like to propose a Christmas Eve morning toast.
Candlebauer, don't you think you should wait until everyone's here?
Yes, the children are at the park with their Timmeray nanny. Cliff never came back last night, and Charles the contractor went out to purchase extra toilet tissue.
But it's Christmas Eve morning. Crockpot's here.
Yes?
Well, if you insist, Bauer.
Great! Wasn't it the French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre that said...
Oh, hey guys, can I ask y'all do me a favor real quick?
I was in the middle of a Christmas Eve morning toast, but I guess we can do you a favor. A small one, since it's the Christmas season.
Oh man, that'd be so awesome. My mama, she showed up at the Bangkok bus station this morning. I was wondering if she could stay with us here in this giant mansion.
Well, I did tell Letitia Washington that there would only be 8 of us, but it would be improper etiquette to turn anyone away on Christmas.
Oh, that's great, Mrs. Butter Butter Butter. Turn in, hey, just one more thing.
What is it now?
I kind of told my mama that I was a business tycoon and that all you guys work for me.
Oh, my crackling yule logs, you did what?
Oh, I was just trying to impress her. You know how it is with mamas.
But lying? And on Christmas?
Oh, my. The mere idea is giving me a bowel attack.
Oh, no, it'll be real easy. You'll see. Come on, guys, please.
Well, I suppose we could pretend for the sake of your mother.
Oh, bitchin', man. That's totally bitchin'. I'll let her in. Come on in, Mama.
Hey, this is one bitchin' pad, son.
I told you, even in the can, these shitters, they have them things that, they spray off your butthole. I made sure of that when I bought them.
Ooh-wee, that sounds fancy. I can't wait to take a dump.
Hey, Mama, let me introduce you to my, staff. This here's Mr. Snodbottom and Mrs. Butter 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 Churn. They're my business managers.
So it's you two that made my baby so rich. Well, I gotta thank you. He's made his mama prouder than a poodle with a new perm.
Yes, it is very nice to meet you.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Well, you folks might as well call me Boogie. Everybody else does. Except, of course, for my baby.
Oh, Mama.
Yeah, I've been called Boogie ever since I was a teenage runaway. That's because I got kind of popular around certain parts of Busheltown when I do this burlesque routine to that song Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. And even after that song went out of fashion, I kept on boogieing, so the name stuck.
Well, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance, Boogie.
And who's this strapping fella over here?
Oh, that's Kendall. He's my butler.
Butler, huh? Okay, Crandall. Can you whip me up some eggs with a side of home fries? And oh yeah, I'll take my sausage medium rare.
What?
Thanks, man. We'll ring a bell or something if we need anything else.
A bell? A bell?
Oh, Candle Boy, it is Christmas after all. The season of peace on earth and goodwill to all mankind, even contractors.
Okay. Will there be anything else, sir?
Oh, hey, I might be crack open a couple of brewskis for me and my mama here.
Very well.
So, tell me about this pretty lady here.
Well, we call her Crockpot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, guys, just head up the west stairway and then take a left. Everybody pick out a room and rest. We got play practice in a few hours. The big show's tonight.
Oh, those are new shepherds.
Yeah, I'm sorry they were all in thongs. It was underwear night at the club.
Well, I see. Well, there are a few things I need to tell you in the other room.
Okay, but before you do that, I have to tell you all why I was late. See, next to the club for fat gays, there's this toy store. And what with the connection between Christmas and toys, it really brought me back to my childhood in strange new ways.
Toyland, Toyland, buzzing lubricated toyland. While you browse within it, you're ever horny there. Adulthood's joyland, vaginal or anal toyland. Once you've made your purchase, you can never return it again.
Well, that does sound interesting.
I don't know what you're talking about, Boa, but it certainly had a nice melody.
I was just talking about a toy store where I bought myself a big Christmas gift, which is currently in about a million little pieces, so Kendall may need to borrow your toolbox, Charles.
Toolbox? Why would a rich business tycoon own a toolbox?
Oh, I'm sorry, we haven't met. I would have introduced myself, but I had to sing that song. I'm guessing Charles picked you up at a bus station.
That's right. I took a bus into Bangkok to surprise my baby boy here, and I about crapped my panties when I ran into him at the station.
Did you say baby boy? You're Charles's mother?
Hell yeah, and I'm tickled pinker than Pepto-Bismol that I can finally see his staff.
Staff? You mean like my rod and my staff, let them comfort you? Or no, you probably mean like an infection.
Oh, hey, quit clowning around here. Mama, this is Cliff. He's my personal hairdresser. And that over there is his wife, Crockpot. She's my stockbroker.
All right.
Ooh-wee. My baby has done all right for himself after all. I have half a mind to call up that old middle school principal of yours, Mr. Carbonator, the one that said you'd never amount to anything more than a janitor's apprentice. And I just might have to tell him where he could cram his predictions straight up his ass.
Speaking of stuff that goes there, where's Kendall? I need him to put together this gift I bought myself.
Does anybody know how to get sausage out of this tube thing?
Oh, this is certainly shaping up to be another wacky Christmas for the Cliff and Kendall gang.
Cliff and Kendall gang? Don't you mean another wacky Christmas for Charles and his friends?
Later that afternoon, in the butler's quarters.
Come in.
Hey, it looks like Santa's workshop in here.
I know, I've got Charles' tools spread all over the place because I'm putting together a graduate school for Fonky, a million-piece puzzle for Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn, and a delicate Swiss cuckoo clock for Crockpot.
I just meant because at the angle you were sitting at, your double chins really made you look a lot like Santa. But now that you mention it, you do have a lot of elf-like carpentry to do.
And I'll never finish it all by tomorrow morning. Not with having to pretend to be Charles the Contractor's butler. Took me forever to cook that damn sausage for Boogie. I've forgotten how. I've been a vegetarian since Will and Grace was on the air the first time.
Okay, calm down. Take a few deep breaths. And remember, my theory about how when Jake Gyllenhaal finally wins his Oscar in a couple months, it's going to reset the universe and things will start to make sense again. We just have to have faith, Kendall. It's going to happen. Even if the blithering idiots at the Golden Globes snubbed him, viciously, his Oscar will reset the universe. It's got to be reset, Kendall, or maybe we just need to unplug it and plug it back in.
You're not helping.
Well, then I'll help. You! I'll be the Jesus to your Joseph, and I'll hand you tools and shit. And then maybe your heart will grow a few sizes, and you'll help me. See, I bought this special chair at the toy store, and I was hoping you could put it together before all the shepherds leave.
All right.
Now, don't be so gloomy. If we work together, we'll have a gay old time, and we'll feel just like Santa's elves.
Well, when you put it like that, it doesn't sound so bad.
We're two working stiffs that are making gifts.
For our friends, the fun never ends, oh, we are making gifts.
Listen to me sing.
Squirt glue on that thing.
Tape up the sides now.
We're filled with pride now. We are making gifts.
We are like two huge fat elves.
Loaded up with cheer.
We're just happy Christmas is f***ing here. Make your gift look gay.
So the Bible say.
Slap on a bow now.
Yep, there we go now. We are making gifts.
And a little while later, Charles the Contractor's mother, better known as Boogie, was sitting in front of a very Christmassy, roaring fire.
Oh my God, who knew carpentry was so hard? No wonder Harrison Ford quit to become an actor. Oof, what the hell is it so damn hot in here? It's 85 degrees outside. Who the fuck lit this? Oh, hey Boogie. Whoa, I didn't expect to see you there topless.
Well, it just don't feel like Christmas to me unless I'm sitting in front of a crackling fire. And like you said, it's hotter than hell's hoo-hoo outside. So I figured, why not go all natural? If it's good enough for National Geographic, it's good enough for my baby boy's mansion.
Well, you got me there. Hey, I like that nipple ring.
Oh, which one? The green one?
No.
Chris Vicks?
No.
The skull?
Yeah!
Oh, I love that one too. It's pretty special since it once belonged to my own mama. I always thought maybe I'd pass it on to my baby boy's wife, but even though he's a rich business tycoon, he don't show any signs of getting married.
Oh, right. He's a business tycoon. Well, maybe he's just not the marrying kind.
Maybe, but I sure would like to pass down this precious nipple ring in the shape of a skull. Or maybe the sterling silver peace sign I'm wearing south of the border. You know I have 36 piercings in all, and not one above the neck.
It's probably hard to go through airport security.
Well, why do you think I took the bus from Busheltown to Bangkok? Now, you might be right about Charles. He might not be the marrying type, but you are. And married to a stockbroker to boot. You're one lucky hairdresser.
Yeah. I am.
So, what made you two fall in love?
Well, we both really love Steel Magnolias and watching men swimming during the Olympics. Plus, you know, I was like really warm for her form.
True love, that's a beautiful thing. What? Hey, where's that butler? You think he could freshen my nod?
It wasn't long before Charles and all his friends were at the Bangkok Community Center getting ready for their big Christmas Eve performance.
Gather round, everyone. I just want to thank you all, especially you shepherds that joined our stable at the last minute. I wanted this show to be a special holiday thank you to all the peoples of the world, and I think that will become evident once the curtain goes up. Just a few final notes. Kendall, would you tighten the nuts holding up the Star of Bethlehem? And Crockpot, don't forget to cradle the newborn king like this. See how I'm doing it.
Okie dokie.
Oh, my chestnut's roasting over an open fire. I'm so excited. We've got 2 minutes, people, and then it's places.
Cliff. Yeah, what? I have a problem. You never finished the rap song you're writing for Susan, and now you don't have a gift for her? Just give her, you know, a wife gift. One of those see-through negligees or a Jane Seymour Cross Your Heart necklace. Or a gift card. Really, anything is better than a wrap would be.
No, no. I forgot Charles' tools back at the mansion. I can't tighten the nuts holding up the Star of Bethlehem.
Well, I'm sure Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn was being over-careful about it anyway. You know, it only has to stay up for like another hour.
Yeah, you're right. It looks secure enough to me.
Although, she was right about how Crockpot should hold the mini Messiah. Did you see the way she was doing it? It's like she'd never held a baby before in her life. Oh, that's me. Hold on.
Daffodil, I think we're really going to pull this off. A Christmas show in Bangkok directed by me and starring our whole family. What a surprising turn of events!
Oh, yes. But when I really study the situation, dear, I can't imagine things turning out any other way. And I know with you at the helm, everything's going to be just fine.
Oh, what a lovely thing to say. We've got 1 minute, everyone. Does anyone need anything before we go on?
Oh, hey, I got a question. How come they don't make no breakfast cereals that taste like cheese?
Okay, Mrs. Potter, Butterbutterchurn, don't panic. But I just got a phone call from the Shepherd's manager, Silky LeBaron, and he says they have to go.
Go? Oh, my. It's okay. We'll just go back to the cardboard versions. Nothing's going to stop my Christmas spirit tonight. And at least we'll save on actors' salaries.
that's another thing. Their manager said that technically they've been on the clock since I brought him home this morning. And he's on his way here now to collect payment. And also, he was really rude on the phone. So to boost my own self-image, I told him I was in charge of everything here. So if you could all just pretend to be my employees when the talent manager gets here.
Oh, my.
We're already pretending Charles the Contractor is in charge.
I know. That's where I got the idea. But Boogie's in the audience. She won't see.
I'll have to get my checkbook from my purse. Please, everyone.
Charles, would you stop tossing your keys up in the air like that? I'm trying to remember my first line.
Hey, sure thing, man. But just look how high I can toss them.
You hit the Star of Bethlehem.
Oh, it ain't no thing, man.
It is too a thing. Look, it's wobbling.
Uh-oh.
Man, the star knocked over the whole stable.
What's happening? Everything fell over and now the electricity's out.
That's it. The whole show is ruined. Along with Christmas.
Oh, dear. What have we done to deserve this? Oh.
Don't anybody move. I know just what to do. Kendall, point me toward the curtain. I gotta get on that stage.
Okay, turn around. This way.
Ow, Kendall.
All right, it must be the other way.
Hey, I'm over here. Listen to me. I'm over here. Here, okay. So, we're having some technical difficulties, so if you'll bear with us. But until we can get it figured out, you needn't worry. I'm here to entertain. Trust me, you'll thank me later. Okay. Sorry, okay. On Christmas Eve in 1818, a blizzard stranded the tiny village of Obendorf, nestled in the Austrian mountains. That same day, the people of St. Nicholas's church found their organ broken. So the priest and the organist began composing a song that could be sung without an organ, yet beautiful enough to express their Christmas joy. All day and all night long they worked, and at midnight a classic carol was born. The pure, clear tones echoed through the hills, and the world has been captured by the beauty of that simple song ever since. I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the No, that didn't sound right. Yeah! If they can't be subdued with perfect pitch, I'm all out of ideas. Why didn't anybody reply? Am I back on the right side of the curtain? Of
course I'm here, Silky LeBaron, and I need to get paid.
Well, here's your check, Mr. LeBaron. I still don't see why the shepherds couldn't stay and do the performance.
Not that it matters now, Sugarlump, but with the entire set collapsing and the lights going out all over the building.
I know, but it's still the principle of the matter.
Hey, cool it. It's only business. There's a convention of Republican congressmen in town tonight, so every hooker in Bangkok's on duty. My beeper's already beeping off the hook with offers from my boys. So listen up, my fellas. Move your sweet ass out of here and back to the hotel, and it's enemas for everybody. Got it? Except for Danny and Fredo. You two stay dirty. The congressmen want to give you the enemas themselves.
Oh, what's the use? I might as well go out there and tell the audience to go home. Christmas is officially ruined.
Hey, y'all back here in the dark?
Yeah, Boogie, we're back here.
Well, I don't know if you can tell with this curtain closed, but that audience is getting restless.
Damn it, if only the lights were still on, I could do magic. And I can't even find a flashlight. All I can feel is this bag full of bells and a box of paperclips.
Did you say bells and paperclips?
He did.
Give me them things, Crandall. I think I know a way to save the show. Just go out there and introduce me. I just need 30 seconds to undress and attach all these bells to my body piercings. Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn, can you give a girl a hand?
Okay, give it a rest. Up next, In the dark, we have a new performer. Her name is Boogie.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody. I'm Boogie, and I like to boogie. This is called the Dance of the 36 Bells. I once did it for Ray Charles, even though he swore I didn't, but that's just because he'd done so much blow that day. Anyhow, if I remember all the moves, I think y'all recognize the tune. And a one, and a two.
Yes, Boogie wowed the crowd with the Dance of the 36 Bells. And if she didn't save the show entirely, the lights never did come back on, you see, then at least she dulled the crowd's rage into a more manageable disappointment. Later that night, back at the estate of Letitia Washington.
I'm sorry again I couldn't tighten the star's nuts like you asked, Mrs. Potter, but a better churn.
Oh, think nothing of it. Things could have gone worse. And would have, but Boogie saved the day. Or rather, night.
Finally, the pizza's here.
I'll get it.
I got 6 large pizzas here.
I'll pay, since I'm in charge. Did you know all these people work for me?
Is that so?
Yep, and it makes me feel like a pretty big man.
Merry Christmas, you weirdo.
It smells so good.
Why did you tell the pizza boy you were in charge?
Well, I got the idea from you. I figured it was my turn.
But you didn't have a reason to lie. I lied to impress the pimp, and Charles lied to impress his mom.
What? My baby boy lied to me?
Oh, whoops.
Say it ain't so.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mama, but I just wanted to make you...
why are you two laughing?
It was all just a holiday prank, man. You guys all fell for it.
Wait, we pretended to be your employees all day for nothing?
Yeah. Ain't that a kick in a crotch?
You think I let my baby boy grow up to be something so disgusting as a business tycoon? Hell no. But seriously though, you guys went through a lot of trouble for my boy, and I want to thank you. And shit, ain't it Christmas Eve?
Shit, yeah it is.
Then I say, hey, let's boogie.
Bangkok, what a place for Christmas, better than any old peninsula or isthmus.
On holidays, you gotta do it upright to hear Santa sleigh on Christmas Eve night.
Boogie now.
Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since we were in Busheltown with Christmas trees in it.
On a ride tour all around the world, talk about ride to all the boys and girls.
We've been to Paris,
Transylvania,
Vietnam.
We're not done.
Christmas in Bangkok makes a fat man merry. The nog is flowing, yuletide cheer is free. You'll have so much fun that it will be scary. And if you're lucky, you'll get a gift or three. I feel St. Nicholas watching over me.
Baby Jesus lay in a manger, born a king, but he was in danger.
Then there's Rudolph and the other reindeer. The message of Christmas is we're all the same, dears.
Thank God for the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Boogie, 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 boogie.
There won't be snow tonight, but this holiday can still be white. Of course I mean with powdered sugar. I'm not some kind of racist booger.
Step under the mistletoe. Light a Yule log. Suck a candy cane.
Christmas in Bangkok makes a fat man merry. You know our halls are decked out with holly. You'll have so much fun that it will be scary. The best lighting is by the Christmas tree. I feel an angel watching over me.
Hey, I can't let this Christmas special end. Wait, sorry, I mean special Christmas end without asking why the hell Terry the Temp wasn't the kid's temporary nanny.
Yeah, not that Bathsheba isn't doing a great job. She's not in here, is she?
Oh, my! Well, of course we requested Terry, but the poor dear is temporarily filling in for a disgraced morning news anchor. I forget which one.
And that's how the holiday ended for the Cliff and Kendall gang. I'd like to wish each and every one of you an enjoyable winter holiday, whichever one you celebrate. Or as I like to say, why the f*** not celebrate them all? Happy holidays to all my fellow snowflakes out there, and to all a good night.
listening to Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. Binge listen to more episodes at cliffandkendall.blogspot.com.